Luke 7, if you've got a Bible. And we're going to read from verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them loved him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Did you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven, little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now, I think there are a lot of examples that we could pull out of the New Testament of Jesus' interaction with people, which show that he was about forgiveness, that he was about offering love. And the reason I pulled this one out, and if you're wondering as well, this is not the same as an incredibly similar story. There's another story recorded in both Matthew and Mark, and it sounds the same, but it is actually a different example. And I was a bit confused. I was thinking, why are they not talking about, why don't they just record the same example? One was a time when he was having a meal and a woman came and did the exact same thing with the perfume. This is a time when he was at a Pharisee's house. He'd been invited in. And the difference is that the woman in the other place seemed to be there already as a servant. The woman would not have been in the Pharisee's house. She effectively came barging in on a mission to come and see Jesus because she had this jar of perfume. She had heard who he was, and all she wanted to do was pour out the perfume on his feet and effectively weep and beg for forgiveness. Jesus recognized instantly through the actions of her that A, she felt quite guilty about something, but B, she recognized who he was. When we bring our first fruits to God, we're not just fulfilling a law. We're not just saying, okay, God demands X amount, I will give him X amount. It is born out of a response of what God has done for us. We sit in a time where we get to look back and read these amazing stories, see what God did through that time. We get to look back over the history of the church. We get to see what we've been through here in a transformation, how God gifted us here, how we gave it away. God gave us more. We gave it away. God kept topping up and up and up. So we've done this with it. And I believe that God is going to honor us as long as we follow him and keep to what he wants for this church. We hear so many stories about that. Why in the Old Testament was it, well, this is a law, and in the New Testament it seemed to be a woman who did it out of guilt? I think they are linked because it's the same God and it's the same reason. In the Old Testament, they were reminded that they were a people in slavery, in oppression, in Egypt, and God brought them out. We sung about that tonight, how God brought us, you know, split the sea apart so we could walk through it. God took a people out of Egypt through miraculous signs. You know, it's not every day that the Nile turns to blood, where the sun is blotted out, where the firstborn of everyone who hadn't marked their doorposts with blood dies. Through miraculous signs, God took a people out of Egypt. And God is saying, remember what you've been through. Remember what I've done for you. Bring me your best to remind yourselves that you are to be thankful, that you are to understand that I have done this for you, that even though you may not have deserved it as a people, I've chosen to do it. In the New Testament, We've got this woman coming to Jesus who knows she's screwed up, who knows she's done stuff wrong. And her heart is like, I don't know what else to do but to pour out the best of what I have, an alabaster jar of perfume. In the other two stories, it's commented that that would have taken over a year's wage to buy. What a waste. And Jesus says, don't be silly. You know, I won't be here forever. This woman has taken this opportunity to praise and worship me, to pour out her best at my feet. It's the same in this story. The woman brought probably her life savings equivalent and poured them out upon Jesus. And Jesus, rather than saying, oh, that's very nice, or oh, do you do pedicures as well? Rather than doing any of this, he just says, I know what's going on here. I know why you're doing this, because you're seeking forgiveness. And he says, you have it. When we come to God and we bring our best to God, it's more than just, oh, well, I have to do this. It's more than a duty. It's a response to what God has done for us. And I think when people struggle to understand that, why have you got to do that? Why have you got to give money to the church? Why have you got to give your time? Why do you have to serve? Why do you have to commit? It's possibly because they've not understood what it is Jesus has done for us. If someone saved your life, I'm talking right now, if you were to cross the street and someone came running out of nowhere and pushed you out of the way as the bus comes and they get hit and they end up in hospital, broken bones, you know, I suspect you're going to want to try and have some part in that person's life to try to begin to thank them for what they've done. If you had received a donor heart from a family, you would want to show some form of gratitude, I'm sure. I know it's not practically that easy. It takes a very cold person to say, well, wonderful, I deserve that. Great, wonderful, I'm glad, I don't care about it. We want to thank other people. We want to make sure people are aware that we understand what they've done for us. When it comes to God, are we willing to say, God, I'm going to give you my best. I'm going to give you my first, even if nothing else will follow. Because what you have done for me is so amazing, so wonderful, so full of love, so full of grace that you and you alone deserve that. At harvest time, it's easy to think about, okay, God provides and we give back. But that we've just harvested. We've just started to take stuff in. What about when times are difficult? What about when we go through the rubbish in life? What about when everything else seems to be going wrong? Are we still bringing our first and our best to God? Are we still saying, God, even though I have nothing, I'll bring it to you? Jesus stood at the temple with his disciples and watched people pour money into the temple box. And then a little old woman comes along. She put the only coins in the world that she had. And Jesus said, that there is giving. That is true commitment. That is love for God. We don't earn our salvation. It's already done for us. But there is absolutely a response. The woman's response was to come at Jesus' feet to bring all that she had and receive forgiveness. In the Old Testament, the Hebrews regularly came to God and brought the best of what they had. How does this work today in modern life? I'm not saying you have to bring X amount of money, give X amount of time, you have to decide, what do you see in your life as the first and the best that you can bring to God? Someone once said that it's not about the 10% that's given, it's about the 90% that's left sometimes. If what you gave was times by 9, would that be enough for you to carry on with, whatever it is? You know, if you're like, I'll give church an hour, okay, well that means then you get 9 hours to yourself for the rest of the week. If that seems fine and great, I'll give God 10 minutes this week. Okay, well, then you give yourself 90 minutes this week. How do we start to split it? Are we truly bringing to God our best? But are we doing it because we understand that he loves us, has saved us, or do we do it out of a duty? I don't ever want to speak for God, because that is a stonable offense in the Old Testament. But my understanding of Scripture says that God is not after things out of duty. Isaiah said to the people, he says, God does not want to hear praise and worship, which is like clanging cymbals. He wants to see genuine hearts coming to him, worshiping, serving, loving, seeking him. So it's not about a figure. It's not about amount of money. It's not about, are you doing more than that person over there? Are you being holier? It's about, in your hearts, do you recognize that God has done it all for you? That Jesus literally put his arms out on the cross and said, "It is finished for you, for me, for everyone out there." And is your response that to bring your best to God, your first, your best? If it is, keep doing it. There'll be times when you will struggle. That's okay. We all struggle. I struggle and I get paid to do it. So it's hard. But it is a sacrifice. Maybe you're thinking, I know there's more to this. I know we could do more. We're not here to judge or condemn whatsoever. But I think I am here to challenge, to say, is there more? Is there, you know, are you giving the 30, 40% down the line? Or are you giving the first, the best? Do you know of people who you need to gently love and challenge to say, come on, God wants more from you. God deserves more from you than what you're giving. Don't make God's second, third, fourth best. Don't stick him on the end of your week, but put him first. I'm going to finish on this. There's at least two people who went to a great university in this country. I'm going to embarrass Kath a little bit, but Kath and another girl called Becky used to come here. When they went to university, Cambridge University, you are told you work. You work, work, work. And when you think you've worked enough, you work it more because that's what you do to achieve. However, many Christians like Kath, like Becky, and possibly even Peter, said, on Sunday, that time goes to God. We will be at church. We will be part of what we do. We are not going to be sitting in the library till whatever o'clock in the morning. We're not. And people probably said to them, and I think, you are mad. Do you not want to pass? Are you not going to be part of this great university life? And to which they said, God comes first, because that is more important. Well, these guys graduated. They did really well. Here they are. They did not crash and burn at university. And I believe it's because God honored them. So whatever the world tells you, whatever the world says, oh, well, get everything in place, do this, do that, honor God, and the rest falls into place. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that first of all, you give us a reason to come to you with our first, with our best. Jesus, I thank you for your death and resurrection. I thank you that you did it for us, that you took all the rubbish in our lives, you took the sin, the things that we do wrong day after day, and you paid the price. Lord, I'm sorry for the times when I've not given you what you deserve, when I've not committed to you what should be done. Lord, I pray that you will challenge me and that you will remind me that you deserve my first and my best. I pray, Lord, that we as a group here, as a church, can bring you our first and our best, knowing that you deserve it, knowing that you will pour out more upon us, and knowing that we will see great things happen when you are put as number one in our lives. Thank you, God. Amen.